From Harris Studios, this is Accounting for Tomorrow, an accounting and advisory services podcast for community leaders with a passion for change, who are ready to look past the numbers and ensure that today's planning efforts create success for tomorrow. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast. We've got a great guest here today, and we also have a great topic. I've got Gina Vinci with me, the controller at McMillan, and one of our longtime friends and partners here at Harris CPAs. Very excited talking about managing cash flow and what that means. But let's start, Gina, maybe just give us a little background on yourself.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me. Grew up in Nevada, went to school at College of Idaho, and finished up at Idaho State University. With my accounting degree, went on to get certified as a CPA, worked in public just long enough to get that threshold met, and then have been in corporate accounting ever since. But most of my career has been focused on the construction industry with a small phase in a multi-branch staffing company here in Idaho and Utah. But all of my roles have been highly involved with cash flow. So I have a lot of opinions about this topic and a lot of emotions and experience. So I'm excited to talk with you about it today.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And when we talk about managing cash flow, what does that mean to you?
At my level, the controller, it's oftentimes just survival mode and planning and preparing for what you think might be headed your way with business needs and demands and what the organizational direction is. And so for me, cash flow is oftentimes about relationships, high level down to your resource or your subcontractors or your labor, but it really impacts every level of the organization.
When we talk about cash flow, right, we've got what we call accounts receivable. That's money coming in from our customers. Mm-hmm. And then we've got accounts payable, but it's money paying to our vendors and our expenses. So let's start by talking about the money coming in and how that impacts your receivables. But how does that impact managing your cash flow?
Oftentimes we get so involved in the minutiae of trying to plan the cash flow by preparing cash flow statements and projections that we lose track of what the meaning of the receivable actually means. Is it really a good receivable? We sometimes get so involved with trying to plan to the dollar and the penny that you lose sight of the reality of the receivable. So for me, it means that we have to also plan to the penny and try to project what's going to happen in our business, as well as understand where we're at with performing the duties of our contracts or where our customers' financial status is. Those demands on the AP side come to you weekly, if not daily, and you can't plan for every scenario that you have.
So I think that's like when we're talking about cash flow and forecasting, I've seen it in a bunch of different industries, but you said you'd worked at a staffing company.
Sure.
Right? So your customers in a staffing company, how often is your AR or accounts receivable turning? How often are those customers paying you in that kind of industry?
When we were in staffing, we were billing weekly and they were due upon receipt. So we were billing, I don't know, 300 to 400 clients a week for, say, up to 1,000 employees. So when you're in that minutia of high level AR, it turns from the ability to plan the details to a high level industry analysis of, is the industry that I'm serving liquid? It's difficult as the controller to maintain the level of importance of data that's coming at you because there's hundreds and hundreds of transactions. So you try to identify patterns where there might be slow payments in some industries or some clients, and to always know that you have data quickly available to you so that you can respond to those differences and expectations that you might not have foreseen.
So in a staffing company, you're billing weekly, you're collecting weekly, you have a pretty steady stream of cash flow. On the other side, you've worked in the construction business.
Right.
You're not billing weekly.
No, it's monthly on long-term construction contract.
So how's the cash flow on that? Is it a different kind of perspective?
Very much so. In the construction industry, depending on which customer base you're working with or which state you're working in, if you're working in a state that's pay when paid, the rules change a lot with how cash comes in and how cash goes out. But in many of the instances on our projects that we work with, they're large billings where many subcontractors and your own personal labor might be dependent on when those get paid. The labor piece in construction is difficult to manage because if you have a large part of your project that's self-performed, those outflows are going out the door each week because we pay weekly. So you're balancing the inequity and the timing differences between your revenue coming in and the weekly outflows. And that is mainly what puts the pressure on whether or not you have cash flow, whether it's you're meeting those obligations month to month or week to week.
I also think too, like in a construction industry, right, having that relationship with the project managers, I've seen cash flow forecasts going out and when jobs start, there's, you know, varieties. So it's very hard to project that if you're not kind of tied into the operations and understanding where things are rolling and then understanding your customers. I'm sure you have customers that pay 2 weeks after you submit the invoice. There's also customers that might, let's just say, take 60 to 90 days to pay. And how are you planning for that? Because you kind of just linked it there to the expense side of it. So you've got self-performed and contracting, which is a lot of payroll and expenses up front. And then you have subcontractors. So talk about the relationship between those two parties when you're projecting out your cash flow.
In the construction industry, a large part of that plan needs to be understood at the contractual phase. We have to do a good job at making sure that the terms in our contract for payment align with what the construction plan is going to be. If we have terms in our contracts that allow for prepayment of materials before they're on site, it's imperative that our contracts are aligning with how the cash is going to need to flow. So it all starts with the contract and the relationship with the customer, that everybody on both sides understands the demands and what the risk of the contract terms are with payment. And that then flows downriver. Those contractual obligations need to be passed through to the subcontractors that and expectations set on payment according to what the owner contract is. But oftentimes when you're dealing with subcontractors or suppliers that aren't able to align with that contractual agreement with the owner, you make an agreement as an organization to partner with those suppliers or subcontractors for a lot of different reasons. The one might be that maybe the supplier is unique and they are one of few in the country that can produce what we need them to produce. Or maybe it's a contractor that gives us a great price advantage that might have been the one thing that won us the job. And then on the labor portion of it, sometimes there is an opportunity for us to even save money or manage our risk through subcontracting out the labor versus providing the labor internally. And that risk is oftentimes equated to whether or not we can meet our contractual obligations with the customer.
So we have one expense that we really can't control, right? Which is payroll. Like payroll, you got to pay, right? If you've got at every 2 week payroll cycle or a weekly payroll cycle, like you can't pay your employees when you get paid. But a lot of the other expenses when you're within that contract is just understanding how that's going to flow. I remember this was 15 years ago or so. I was working with a contractor and they were redoing massive hotels across the country. And on this one particular job, they had to buy all the toilets up front for all the rooms. Well, they're not going to redo every room, right? They're going to go floor by floor by floor and remodel them. But they had to pay up front and then store it, and the contract didn't allow them to bill it until it was placed like there, until they finished like each floor.
Right.
So it caused a massive cash flow issue for this contractor. Part of it was just not upfront analyzing the contract, when things were going to have to work, working with their suppliers, everything you just talked about. So it's really important upfront. I know I used an example that was from a long time ago, but we see it a lot where people don't quite sign contracts and don't quite think through the cash flow. So when you get into those situations, there are other options for helping manage finance. So maybe talk about your banking and how you can use banking to help manage your cash flow.
Sure, that's a really good point. Your banking relationship is oftentimes key to that success. I have found that partnering with your business banking or loan officers oftentimes creates opportunities for success that you may not have considered. They oftentimes have products or experiences with other companies where they'll say, okay, you want to open another branch for your company or expand your product line or take on a project that might stretch your bonding limits. How can we help you in that? If you're transparent in a partnership mindset with your banker, I have never found that to not be successful. But the products that banks can offer you oftentimes are so automatic to your cash flow needs. There are situations where if you have an established line of credit, that they're just managing the cash for you. If you overdraw your bank account, money sweeps in from the line of credit, and it's pretty painless to manage those transactions through the bank. And there are times when you are approaching maybe your limits of the line of credits that you've been offered. They'll oftentimes come through for you and say, hey, let's understand what your needs are and let's take care of this, and we'll get you a temporary line of credit increase or we'll get you some consulting. I've had a situation where they brought in a consultant and said, hey, take a look at this product. I don't know if you know this, but every night if you have $2 million in your bank account, you can invest it. And we were finding that the money that we had, even if it was just temporary, like accounting for float, we would earn enough interest to pay the interest on our line of credit, and it saved us $100,000 in a year. Wow. And those are the types of things that unless you're being really partner oriented with your bankers, you might not learn about, or you might not be with the right banker too. And if those products are out there, you should always talking to banks or other peers to understand what the marketplace offers. So they're great partners.
Right. I agree. I always tell a lot of my clients that you need to establish the relationship and talk to your banker before you need the cash, not after you need the cash, because after is kind of too late and you're putting them in a difficult position. And before, there's just so many more opportunities. And I've even seen you get so late in the game. Having that relationship up front and having it established will give you flexibility in your cash flow compared to waiting until you actually need it. There's also, like, you could call it personal banking or whatever. It's making sure your company has got the financial, we call it the balance sheet, but the financial wherewithal to manage cash flow fluctuations in the business. And so maybe talk a little bit about how you look at that. There's, you know, in the construction industry, we talk a lot about cash on hand, working capital, equity. Other industries look at that, your burn rate, all these different things go into managing your balance sheet. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how you do that so that you can self-bank some of the cash flow needs.
Right. I like to fondly call that borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. It's a funny way of saying that you're planning on cash inflows from different sources to satisfy the needs of maybe another project or different sources that occur at different timing. But we do manage our burn rate and keeping a close pulse on the refilling of the backlog. And so backlog isn't something we've really touched on yet, but it's a really crucial part to our planning and understanding that there isn't a dry spell coming up. If you know that your backlog is sufficient and those projects come on board as planned in the timeliness that you had anticipated, you can feel more comfortable about your projections than if you don't have your backlog, if it suddenly slows down or circumstances change in the marketplace that you don't have control on. But for the burn rate, in my current company, we have two really interesting sources of revenue. We have an engineering arm of the company and a construction arm of the company. And my engineering side of the house has a lot more customers, a lot more volume AR transactions, and a lot more new tasks each month, and they're burning through more. The other side is high dollar billings on a monthly basis, and depending on the customer, your payment could come 2 weeks after your billing is submitted or 2 to 3 months. And that's where knowing your customer up front and the processes that are involved with submitting your billings and expected timing is crucial to our process. The surprise of, oh gosh, we thought we were going to get paid this month, but gosh, nope, sorry, it's not going to be till next month because some process wasn't followed or maybe something occurred on their end of the process too. So with cash flow planning and trying to understand how to manage that in the controller level, and even at the AP, it needs to keep a close pulse on this.
Excellent. Yeah. I think one thing you also touched on there was backlog, right? And I think that's an interesting topic for construction. That's really future work coming, and all industries have their variation of backlog. Doesn't matter if you're nonprofit or if you're in the for-profit, we're all kind of projecting out future cash flow needs. And if you're a business or a organization that's in a growth mode, right, that could also put some strains on cash flow. I know you've been in businesses that have gone through growth. Maybe talk a little bit about how you balance knowing what's coming and then also looking in the past of what you've got to take care of from a cash flow perspective.
Sure. It's really interesting when you compare your historical cash flow, what actually happened, to what your projection is. And to gain that insight, sometimes you don't even realize through the minutia of all the transactions what happened and why it happened. So once you get to a place where you have that historical data to analyze and understand where things went astray, it's oftentimes fascinating to know that these things were happening. So when you're looking at historical data, it's important to take a high level perspective and to try to understand where the changes came, because you always learn from that. Hindsight is 20/20. You always say, gosh, if we would have just maybe talked about this or understood this or understood this contract term a little bit better, we would have handled it a little bit differently. But how you handle this is oftentimes emotional, because you feel accountable. At least I do. When things don't go as planned, you feel accountable for them, even though it's an organizational accountability. It's not just on the controller. You're really reporting what happened in your company. But it's hard to sometimes take out the emotion of it, because it's very impactful to the business. If you're in a situation where you can't meet the obligations of cash and you have to tell people they have to wait for payment when they've worked so hard, it's oftentimes more emotional than people might think it is.
Talked a lot about different aspects of cash coming in, cash going out the door, timing, banking relationships, all of that. Accountants like to do a project and then be done with it.
Right.
But cash flow is a little bit different, and it's very fluid. And so it's not something you just do, complete, and set aside. It's what was done yesterday needs to change today. It's going to change again tomorrow. It's always evolving as you go down the road, right? Maybe talk a little bit about how you prepare and how you think about cash flow and how you kind of roll with what's going on each and every day.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that it's evolving and it takes constant monitoring. I mean, even weekly, sometimes even daily. And if you don't update your projections with what happened versus what we thought would happen and understand those differences, you'll never succeed. It does require a diligent and disciplined attention. You always have to be filling in those blanks. You have to work with all levels of the organization. And like you said, if you have a leadership group that's hoping to grow your company through M&A or through new markets or through change ordering on your projects or self-performing rather than and just profitability growing your company, if you don't know what your leadership's objectives are and your planning your cash flow in a different way, you're going to at some point collide and have conflict on how the cash is dispersed. Right. Yep. And that conflict is oftentimes organizationally hard for the controller, because you might have the demands of the operations team versus leadership. So the leadership of the company does a great job of communicating what the plan is and everybody's on board, then everybody's working in the same direction. But in the accountant's office, it's easy to go down the rabbit hole of all the ins and outs. You can easily fail your company if you're not paying the right people timely, or if you're not taking advantage of all the discounts that you could get to maximize your cash, or the organization is maybe capitalizing too much capital expense when they don't have the financing to do that or the projects to put the capital expense onto. That's where the leadership needs to really be cognizant of the overall direction.
Yeah, totally agree. Like bringing all of it together and linking it is the big job, but it's crucially important. But in a downturn or in when things are going good, I will constantly say, it doesn't matter if you're a nonprofit, if you're a for-profit, if you're in construction, the companies that have their accounting and their leadership and everyone understanding the numbers and working together are always more successful in the long term. They just seem to make better decisions, plan better, go after different areas of their organization or their business in a much more successful manner when they understand how the cash flow is flowing through their organization.
I agree with that 100%. And like we said too, partnering with your bank, oftentimes what the bank requires of you forces companies that aren't good at this to become good at it. Right. So thankfully, if your company's not good at it and you have a bank that is good at it, they require you to learn it. And if you're working with a good partner, they'll walk you through it and get you to the place where you need to be.
Bankers are great. And I'll have to just put CPAs, a little plug in for CPAs.
So we can help out. I should have done that myself. Sorry. But it is so true. I can't tell you how many times I've picked up the phone and called the partner that I work, Cheryl, and what do you think? And she always gives us sage advice and what she's seen in our industry and what she's seen in other companies. And I have always trusted that I can call you guys at any time and understand that if my partner doesn't know the answer, she has a resource of others that will. And that's where that wealth of resources is really comforting to know.
Having the whole team and working together. So, well, Gina, thank you for coming on for our podcast. It was great talking about managing cash flow. You've been a huge partner with us and we really enjoyed our relationship. And thanks again for coming on today.
Sure. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you for listening to Harris CPAs Accounting for Tomorrow. Stay tuned for new episodes each month. Podcasts are also available on our website at harriscpas.com/podcasts. Any accounting, business, or tax advice contained in this podcast is not intended as a thorough, in-depth analysis of specific issues, nor a substitute for a formal opinion, nor is it sufficient to avoid tax-related penalties. If you'd like, Harris CPAs would be pleased to perform the research and provide you with a detailed analysis of your specific situation.